Hey, what's good? Welcome to Conversationalist Corner, a podcast that explores the world of conversation. My name is Paul Larson, and I'm here with my co-host, Jacob White. Super excited to have you here, and we hope that as you listen in today, that you learn the things that enable you to have the best conversations anytime, anyplace, and with anybody. Hello, hello, you beautiful conversationalist. How are you doing today?
I hope you all are doing well. Paul and I are super excited to be here with another episode of the Conversationalist Corner.
It's season two, baby.
Yeah, season two is in full swing. The day that we're recording this is Friday, November 7th. We just dropped the first episode of season two, so hopefully you enjoyed listening to that last week. If you have any feedback or liked anything, go check it out.
Yeah, we're super excited. Like we said, this is going to be a really good and important whatever you call it, season. And it's just really good. I'm really excited about it. Jacob, are you excited about it?
Yeah, I'm super stoked. I think we have some really awesome things kind of
lined up.
And yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our material today, you know what we need to do.
A little life update.
Life update.
Yeah. So, Paul.
Yeah.
It's been a week since we recorded last, per usual.
Yep.
And in the last week, what has been maybe some highlights or some big events that have kind of happened?
I went into a sauna for the first time.
Really?
I did.
Where?
Yeah. Talmadge has a friend.
Okay.
And invited us over, me and Tyler.
That's awesome.
And so we went sauna.
Where?
At this dude's house? This dude, he's got like a tent set up in his backyard.
Oh, so it's like a portable sauna.
It's like a portable sauna.
So is it like a dry or a wet sauna?
No, it's a wet sauna.
Okay, so it's like steamy.
It's like a wood stove in this tent. And you just like pour water on like this little
thing. Yeah.
And then we went and cold plunged in the Provo River because they live right next door to it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, how was that? What's your verdict on the sauna?
I love it.
Really?
I love it. I felt saunas so are great. Good yesterday.
I love saunas.
I was like, yeah, I felt really good. Like,
yeah.
My body felt cleansed. I felt, I don't know, like it just felt good.
Yeah.
Like I slept really well that night.
Really?
Yeah. And like, oh my goodness, going in cold plunging, like I couldn't breathe. It was so cold. But
because your body's so warm and you're just sweating.
And you're sweating like,
how long did you guys wear in the sauna?
I don't know, probably like, so we did sauna, river, sauna, river, sauna.
Okay.
And I think we were probably in the sauna for about 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, each time?
Each time, yeah.
Okay.
The first time seemed like super long, but it probably was just me adjusting to it.
Yeah.
It was also the hottest by far. Like, I mean, the freaking chimney was like glowing red.
Oh, wow.
That's how hot it was. Holy smokes, man. I was like, I can't breathe.
It's so hot in those things.
It's so hot. And the other ones were, I would say, warm compared to the intense heat.
I mean, you were just in the river, so it's freezing.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, felt great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love saunas. I've been getting into saunas since last year.
Yeah. Jacob would go and use a sauna here on campus.
Yeah. We have a sauna. It's pretty nice. But like the other, like I haven't told anyone about this, but like a couple weeks ago, I went on a run. I just like left my stuff in one of the lockers.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went for a run and I was like, I'm gonna get in the sauna right after. And so I just like, it was pretty warm still. It was like September, I think still.
Yeah.
And so I got right into the sauna and I was still sweating for my run.
Yeah.
And holy smokes, it was like 10 times harder than usual.
Really?
Oh, it was like so hard.
Yeah, it was cold outside whenever I did it.
Yeah, like I was already super hot and like my heart rate was so elevated because I usually like have my heart rate tracking like while I'm in the sauna just because it like, it does have some scientific like gains anaerobically, like aerobically and stuff.
Yeah.
But like I mostly just do it because it's enjoyable and stuff.
It makes you feel so
good. But yeah, I like, my heart rate was at like 135, 140 because I just like, I didn't give myself time to like cool down a little bit afterwards.
Don't sauna directly after a run.
Yeah, I'd say give yourself like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think what I want to do is I want a sauna in my future house.
Yeah, saunas are nice.
Or even like one of those, like, I would love to have one of those, like, I don't know if you've seen on like Instagram or like stuff like that, like the barrel ones.
Yeah, the barrel ones outside.
Like wood. Oh my God.
They're pretty.
Like then, yeah, like, because I really like the wood burning vibe of it.
It's really nice.
It was a little bit ghetto, like homies had taken a bunch of 2x4s to make benches.
Yeah.
So like, and there was like water all over the ground because someone had spilled the bucket. I don't know.
Oh, like, wow.
It was funny.
Yeah. Those wood ones are really nice. It reminds me of a time like back in 2022 when we stayed at this Airbnb on the Oregon coast and they had a sauna. It was one of the wood barrel ones.
Yeah.
It was locked, but we didn't get to go in it. But it was like the wood barrel, but then like the side that was facing like the ocean
was
like kind of glass. I think it was like red tinted, but like it looked so cool.
Oh my God. Like,
it was really pretty.
So that's a must have in my house now. Yeah. That's what's updated is I actually know that I don't really need a giant house. I need a sauna in my house.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough about me and my self-care routines.
Yeah.
How about you?
Honestly, I've been playing way too much disc golf.
More disc golf.
I talk about it every week, but it's true. I take so much time to do that. I don't actually take that much time, but I made two new friends this week.
5 days.
Yeah, I've gone five of the last 7 days.
Probably going to go today.
Yeah, I'll probably go today and then tomorrow. So by tomorrow, it'll be
six out of seven
if I go today. We'll see. Kind of time crunch today because Paul and I and my wife and his girlfriend were all going down to St. George.
Yeah.
So that will be, we'll give a little update for next week.
For next time, yeah.
But yeah, sweet. I think that's about it. Nothing really else happened.
Yeah.
If my mom's listening to us, we got our package. She sent us like a little care package with some like fall stuff from Trader Joe's. And then also Paul knows about this, and I think he's celebrated it too, but in Dutch culture, we celebrate something called Sinterklaas, which is not for a month.
Right.
And so it's
it exists outside of Dutch culture too. My Polish heritage.
I think most Europeans have some form of it where you put a shoe out on like the 5th of December.
St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah. We call it Sinterklaas. It's just like, I don't know. It's just Dutch.
Yeah.
But yeah, cute. She sent us a little stuff to put in our shoes. So that's we so haven't fun. Opened it. It's sitting in the corner of our house. So thank you, Mom.
My mom, Molly Larson, can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Sorry. I know that St. Nick will actually come with his horses. Yeah, it's horses.
Yeah.
It's horses, and he'll eat the carrots out of my
shoe. I don't have that much faith anymore, I guess, so my mom has to send it. She knows I'm not a believer.
Yeah, you know that I'm not a believer. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all we have for life update. But that's not all that we have for material today, because today we're going to keep talking about how to be a peacemaker and some of the resources that we feel like are good guides on how to do that.
Yeah. So just like last week, we went over some of the canon that we think is essential for kind of this peacemaking. And today we have some more material, kind of a couple things, but we're going to be mainly focusing on a book that Paul has brought called
Habits of a Peacemaker by Stephen T. Collis.
Yeah, so I admittedly have not read this book. Paul told me about it about a week or two ago and saying like, hey, this is a really good book. I think we should talk about it. So I said, sure, yeah. So yeah. Paul's kind of going to be bringing the punches today with some material from there. And then we each have a couple other things for maybe a couple other sources that we might use. But yeah, that's kind of where we want to focus today. Just a couple other resources that we've seen be helpful for in our lives. Outside of what we discussed last week.
Yeah, for context, I got this book actually at a Peacemaker event.
Really?
BYU has a Peacemaker Club.
That's interesting. That's really cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. There is a talk given by one of the leaders of our church called Peacemakers Was Needed or Wanted.
I think needed, yeah.
Needed, and it inspired these students to make a club all about peacemaking.
Wow, that's awesome.
And this was like their first meeting ever, and they had this Stephen Collis come and
give a spiel,
and we all got free copies of his book.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I got it.
Have you gone since?
No, I haven't. Shout out to them though.
Yeah.
Super clutch. I don't know. I'm not like a
big club guy.
Yeah, it takes me a lot to get involved into a club. I like to do my...
And you're also busy.
I just like to do my extracurriculars outside of BYU.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
That's
really,
fair.
But this is, like I said, it talks about habits of the peacemaker. I feel like... last week we talked about becoming a peacemaker and the more like character standpoint, you know, how to be a peacemaker type of person, how to change who you are, you know, by following the gospel of Jesus Christ. Regardless of your faith, you know, following Jesus Christ will make you a more peaceful person.
Yeah.
And what this book talks about is a little bit more of like the specific interactions, the specific things, their habits, right? So yeah. They're very specific. I feel like what we talked about last time was a lot more become, and mm-hmm. and there were some do's in there, yeah. You know, like talking about loving and whatnot, but this is more specific in things that you can use in everyday life written for people in our time.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so I hope that today, I just want to focus on kind of like that what can you do, but also like proactively, like again, peacemaking, I think the best peacemaking is happening constantly in maintenance of peace, not in fighting against peace.
Yeah. I guess like keeping the peace
versus like waiting,
trying
for
to make
to blow up
peace in chaos.
Right. Exactly. And so there's a couple of first things about this, and I feel like I read a lot of books about this type of stuff. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to focus on the things that I felt like were almost more unique or more like, for me, more impactful versus like the stereotypical, like, oh, like be curious, which is really important.
Yeah.
And we'll probably talk about that. But like, you know, be humble, be curious, blah, 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 blah. There were some things here that I was like, oh, I actually haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
First one being humor.
Interesting. Humor.
Humor.
Tell me more.
So habit number 8 is a sliver of humor. And I really think that this is a fun little term for a sliver of humor. You know?
Yeah.
Because a sliver kind of like...
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And it kind of jabs itself in there, you know? Yeah. Like it's not... Yeah, it's just a little different.
If you're like, I want a sliver of cake, you expect a very small amount.
Right. Like it's not a lot, but it is definitely felt, right? A sliver, yeah. You can feel a sliver.
Yeah.
And it talks about... how humor is a powerful tool for disarming people.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple of things that it has in here. It quotes the Harvard Business Review saying, research shows that leaders with any sense of humor are seen as 27% more motivating and admired than those who don't joke around. Their employees are 15% more engaged and their teams are more than twice as likely to solve a creative challenge. All of which can translate into improved performance. Studies even show that something as simple as adding a lighthearted line at the end of a sales pitch, like, my final offer is X and I'll throw in my pet frog, can increase customers' willingness to pay by 18%. A bad dad joke can literally help you get paid.
That's crazy, actually. I would have thought it would have been the opposite.
Right?
Like, because it seems a little bit maybe off topic or...
Informal.
Informal, not professional.
Yeah. So here's a thought for you. When do you feel like you've seen this work out in your life? Like, and I'm not going to talk about just peacemaking. Like, how do you feel like humor can be used as a tool for disarmament in a positive way, not like a
make
people feel uncomfortable?
I don't think I do this very well, but I've seen a lot of people who do it well.
Yeah,
I think one of my friends who does it well. His name is Braden.
Braden.
Braden's like,
I love Braden.
He's I don't know. I mean this in like the most affectionate way. Like, he's a goofy dude.
He's a goon.
He's funny. And he, like, I feel like he's really good at this.
Yeah.
Like making, not like making like serious things lighthearted, but just being like a lighthearted individual. And it's like Braden doesn't like stir anger in people. He like creates peace through humor really well, I feel like, and connects people really well through his just like lighthearted nature and his humor.
Yeah. Braden's a good example to bring up. I know you guys probably don't understand as well because you don't know Braden, but Braden can be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
My cousin met Braden and was like, oh my goodness, he's so funny. I love him.
Yeah.
Right. So he's a little bit of a goofy guy, and that I think is really evident with goofy people that like, oh, like we love them. And like, I feel totally comfortable about
that. Yeah.
Like think about it. If you get into an elevator with someone who's like, roar, like super like, I don't know, like super like dark and scary, you're probably going to be like a little like, oh, you know, like, I don't want
to,
like,
you're not going
to, I'm
going to
stand in my corner of the elevator.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You're going to do
but
the
if
classic.
They're smiling, if they crack a joke, like, I don't know, like,
yeah. Actually, that's funny you bring that up about the elevator. The other day I was on Instagram wasting some time.
Oh my.
And I saw a video of this guy getting in an elevator and he turned on some music. He's like, dance party.
Oh yeah.
And there was like two other people in the elevator and the one girl kind of like started dancing with him. And the other guy was like cold. But like he like was like did it in like a non like serious way. It was just kind of like goofy. And yeah. like I'm sure they became friends because of it.
Humor creates just because good vibes.
It's like, and I feel like elevators are places where people are very standoffish.
Oh yeah.
And like there's a lot like, for some reason, there's like unneeded tension, like that's just like it's just
right.
present.
Because you're stuck in the same space as someone, right? And so you like there's this tension here.
Yeah.
Of like, I don't know if we should talk or not, or I don't know yeah. if they really want to talk or whatever.
It's just like this void, and it's like, right. do you connect it or do you just leave it?
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, and so that's the thing: is humor just is great at doing things, and. It's really easy, I think, for myself to do that because mm-hmm. I am a pretty chalant guy. I can be a little bit of a
Paul is not nonchalant.
But yeah, I can have my fun, right? I'm not afraid to be a little goofy, right?
Yeah.
But it might be easy to think, well, I am not a funny person.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm funny, right? No. Like, there's excuses to be made. Maybe yeah. you don't feel like it's not for you. But you just gotta try it. And mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be anything big. Remember, this is a sliver that we're talking about. This is, we're not talking about like a whole javelin of humor.
You don't have to be a comedian.
No. And in fact, this is what it actually talks about. I'm actually gonna read, this is kind of a cheesy little back and forth that it quotes.
Uh-huh.
But it quotes this like, I think that technically it was a real conversation that was had.
Yeah.
But it says, it's between an administrator and a boss. And Rob. Yeah. Anyways, so it's the three people, they're having a meeting and it's kind of like a tense situation because like things aren't working perfectly. And the administrator says, I'm so sorry, we don't have the space ready yet. We tried and tried, but we couldn't figure it out. So we've moved you to some offices in the other ring that will just be temporary until we can get your space finalized over the next few months. And then the boss says, as long as the offices are close enough together that I can throw things at Rob throughout the day, you should be fine. We should be fine. And Rob, a few minutes later, says, I always appreciate you lightening things up with humor. I know she was super worried about you being upset, right?
Yeah.
Like humor, if there is humor, it is a bright yellow flag to say, hey, we are good.
Yeah.
You know, everything is okay. And if people, I don't think it disarms people necessarily, mm-hmm. but it disarms the tension.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of situations are kind of ticking time bombs.
Yeah.
You know? It feels like that. Like, or maybe, I don't know, like walking on glass, something like that. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of situations where things aren't working out perfectly. And if we don't, there's a lot of times where you don't know what the other person's thinking or feeling.
Yeah.
And so that makes you tense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker dissolves tension in other people
yeah.
and prevents that tension from snapping and becoming an explosion.
Yeah.
And so a peacemaker is lighthearted whenever it is appropriate and does that to show people whenever there's not a problem, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like that's a really good example of like, being a proactive peacemaker,
yeah,
in the sense that there's two types of peacemakers, and I think I'm just going to go on like a short tangent about this, but
yeah, go for it.
A proactive peacemaker is someone who strives to not let chaos even happen. Essentially, they want to keep the peace instead of allow it to get to the point where maybe a reactive peacemaker would be someone who there's a not peaceful situation and they try and create peace in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a perfect example of keeping the peace. And not that it's like a super high tension situation, but it could have been if someone flipped out, right?
Right.
Let's say the boss is like, oh my gosh, like why didn't you do this and this? Like there's a path to choose and he chooses the keeping the peace
yeah.
instead of maybe even some justified kind of frustration.
Right, or being like, oh, like, well, fine. Hopefully, like, figure it out as soon as possible.
Like, maybe, like, he could have added some, like, I don't know, passive aggressive statement or something. And that would have just, like, left a bad taste in the mouth, and it just wouldn't have been productive.
Yeah. And one thing that I think is interesting is it talks about the different types of humor that exist.
Okay.
It says aggressive humor, relatable humor, self-endearing humor, self-deprecating humor, expressive humor. And then it talks about how you need to learn which one people enjoy. And so that's a trial and error. It's pretty, I don't know, I feel like it's pretty explicit, like saying, like, there's no right answer for every situation.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of trial and error everything, and you have to learn whenever which one certain people appreciate and when is it appropriate, right? Because it's not going to be appropriate if someone's talking about something that is sentimental, right? To make a joke or something like that. Or if they're really upset, you know, it's not, I don't think humor actually is a very good reactive.
I don't think it's good at all.
Yeah, actually going back to that.
I think it makes people feel belittled.
Yeah, or like unheard, right? Yeah. It doesn't necessarily, it can create a safe space, like, but it very much depends on the people we're with.
Yeah.
But I think in general, humor is much more effective as a proactive approach than a reactive approach. I just think that, most of the times humor is probably not the best way to calm someone down who's already upset.
Yeah.
And it's not a great way of
fixing a safe space. They're not going to find it funny.
Yeah, it's not a great way of fixing a safe place, but it's a good way of establishing one.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm a huge, huge advocate for this, and I loved reading this. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because, like I said, I'm pretty good at this, and I use this a lot.
Yeah.
I'm someone who has a lot of opinions.
Yes.
Right? And I have opinions about relatively intense things.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, religion, people's lives.
Yeah. Just,
you know,
a lot of things.
A lot of things.
That can cause tension.
That can cause tension. That can cause arguments. That can really, like, annoy people. But I have been able to have conversations with people where we both throw in enough of that little humor that you know that, like, everything is okay. And this conversation is a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Like, it's not going to go really past this.
Right. It's like,
I'm expressing my opinion, you're expressing your opinion.
Well, I think what it does is humor regrounds us in the fact that, like, you know what? Like, this is just two of us communicating, right? It's that reminder, like, we're buddies. I love you. We're having a good time. We're having a conversation. Obviously, that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I talk a lot of, like, politics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, relationship advice.
Yeah. You know?
And I, like I said, I can be pretty difficult to work with.
Yeah.
But, like, I think of my wonderful friend Noah.
You know?
Like, we have had lots of disagreements, but I've never, ever, ever felt like there has never been peace between us.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that, like, we are always slipping in a little humor.
Yeah.
Just to remind the other person that the conversation is just a conversation, and we are two dudes with an excellent friendship.
Yeah, I feel like you do that really well. I think that's one example. And then I think you also did it really well with our friend Tyler. I feel like you and him have had some conversations where you don't see eye to eye on things, but, like, it's never been like, oh, like, you have a different opinion. Right. It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, Tyler, we disagree.
Tyler actually might be the best example of this.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler gave both me and Maddie a lot of relationship advice whenever we were, like, trying to figure things out.
Uh-huh.
But he was always like, it was like serious. And then, you know,
he would just,
he'd say something to
joke.
Make someone smile. Like, and I think going back to body language, shout out to our other podcast, season one, episode body language. If you're smiling, you're feeling good, right?
Yeah.
And if you can make people, if humor makes people smile, smile keeps people happy, keeps the peace, right?
Yeah.
Tyler always makes people smile.
Yeah. He does a really, really good job of that.
And so I think that there's so much to break it down here. Like, we could spend the rest of the time talking just about humor, but, like, it is really cool how if you can keep things good vibes by just making someone smile.
Yeah. I think that's kind of
and that's what you can think of it as.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you're thinking about, like, well, what type of joke should I make? Well, if that's not making them smile, odds are you probably shouldn't be making it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is both a rule for individual people and circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like, your joke might make them smile in a different setting, but if it's not going to make them smile now, don't say it.
Yeah.
If it's never going to make them smile because they don't think those types of jokes are funny, don't say it.
Especially don't say that. That creates more chaos.
Right.
I think that's a good place to kind of move on to kind of the next kind of thing you wanted to bring up.
Oh, come on. I love talking about humor.
I know. We could probably talk about this for the next hour, but interest of time.
Yeah. So that was the kind of the main one that I was like, wow, I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool. And
I think it's super relevant especially within like conversations.
Oh yeah.
Just like being able to keep the peace through and just lightheartedness a little bit.
That you can take. It's something that you can practice.
And I feel like it's fairly simple.
It's fairly simple.
It's not like overly complicated at all.
Just make people smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And humor is a good way to do that. Anyways, sorry.
No, you're good. I think it's super awesome.
The other, so there's only two principles that I really wanted to talk about. There's a lot of good principles in this book.
Yeah.
But the other one that I wanted to talk about that I thought was really important was embrace the comfort of non-closure.
Okay, tell me more about that. What does that entail?
Well, so here, I'll just read the kind of like the section headers of this chapter. Says the realm of reasonableness and being comfortable in spaces between extreme certainties. So not being certain. Oops, my book kind of sticky. Bask in differences. A step in the right direction is a marathon when certainty matters. And it says, peacemakers are comfortable with uncertainty. They enjoy the differences of opinion. They recognize that even a small step towards resolving a problem is huge. And they recognize that there are times certainty matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we should start off with that last one. There are times that certainty matters.
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's like anything that we can say to kind of like... I don't think that we can like... How do I say this? Like we can't tell you when times matter, when certainty matters.
That's something you have to learn.
That's something that you have to learn. But like, there are times that certainty matters, and then there are times that certainty doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we're going to talk about is, obviously, think about those times where certainty matters, where you need to be certain. Think that like, there's certain points in a relationship that you need to be really certain.
Yeah.
There's certain things in your life about that you need to be certain. Religion's a good one. Sometimes,
I think just decision making, big decision making,
right? Like you need to be certain about certain things, but I'm just going to say disclaimer: we're not going to tell you when to be certain, when not to.
That's a decision you get to make if you're the only one making a decision, or if it's you and someone else,
right? But whenever it isn't, when certainty is not vital, that's what we're going to talk about right now, and being okay with uncertainty. So I want you to think about Jacob, I guess this is kind of a read my mind question, so I'll just kind of save you the effort. But
yeah.
I think that peace is oftentimes broken when people are just so stuck in getting the last word in.
Yeah.
You know? Like, think about it. Snide comments. Any snide comment is getting the last word in, right?
Yeah.
Any sort of time where
you're
like...
Because it puts people down.
Anytime that you are just like being super resolute, I think like sometimes with, I think about like sometimes with relationships, like it's very easy to like make things black and white. And sometimes that leads to resentment.
Yeah.
Right. Or there's a lot of times that just like people force certainty upon themselves or upon others. And then that kind of slapping a band-aid on whatever the issue is, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know, or not slapping a band-aid if you're being mean, but trying to be certain all the time is not going to bring the peace.
Yeah. I think, and you could maybe redirect me if I'm kind of going off on the wrong path, but I think being okay with not always knowing 100% with something in conversations, like I feel like sometimes I like to speak in absolutes, even if I'm uncertain about something.
Right, right.
And so I think that's a dangerous path to go down, because then you become the law in your mind.
Totally.
Like what I think or what I'm saying in this conversation is what is truth. And it forces you into a situation where you are not willing to compromise it or understand it all.
Right.
And so I think being okay with knowing like, hey, I don't know everything and I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to hear someone out, I'm willing to kind of listen, which is a huge thing within conversations.
Yeah.
Is super vital with like being okay with not knowing everything.
Yeah.
If that kind of makes sense.
Totally. The author goes in and talks about this realm, the space that is called the realm of reasonableness, which kind of exists between two extremes. We live in a society where there are lots of extremes. He mentions that. Like there's often only two options on big topics, right?
Yeah.
For and against XYZ.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. You can be in
you
the
can
middle.
Be in the middle.
You can, and you don't have to, and what you have to do is you have to recognize that I don't need to be in the same space as someone else, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think that they need closure of saying, they understand me perfectly.
Yeah.
I need them to understand me perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, people really, really want that. But that causes a lot of problem. It causes angst in yourself. It causes tension. It causes, you know, worry. And then you kind of project that onto this other person by like, no, like, listen to me.
Yeah.
Like, blah, 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 blah. I've done that a lot today, actually. A lot of blah, blah, blah. Anyways. But there's a lot of just people who want to eliminate uncertainty. They want to eliminate differences. And they kind of, that, and to them, that's what closure is, right?
Yeah. They want to be, like, feel like they're correct.
But think about, let's say that we have... a little disagreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Difference right now. Then we can just like, if we have a difference and Jacob's like, wow, let's choose a topic real quick with something, running,
mm-hmm.
you know?
We do not agree on this.
We do not agree on running. I think that running is a terrible, no, just kidding. I don't care to run.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I love running whenever it's a sport. Doesn't really matter to me and you'll never catch me on a run.
Yeah.
Jacob, where do you stand on this issue of running?
I stand so firmly on the issue of running that I get up at 5 a.m. every single morning and go for a run. That's how much I love running.
Yeah, he's a sweat, both theoretically, or figuratively, and literally.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a silly idea, right? But even silly things can become big topics. But so let's say that me and Jacob are having a conversation, and it's like, you know what, Jacob? No, usually how it is Jacob's like, Paul, you should be a runner.
Yeah,
so I think... Go for it, go for it.
I think you should, Paul. I think you have the build for it. I think you have the potential to be a great runner. I think you would be gifted
and then
if
this
you
is,
put the effort
this
in.
Is about when I step in and I say, but you know what would require me to be a good runner?
The desire?
Running. And I don't care for running. Right?
I think we've had this exact conversation.
Yeah, we have. And but here's the thing, like, right? And Jacob's like, no, like, bro, you've got the build for it. I mean, Jacob, you know, let's have this conversation for real.
Yeah.
You know? And we'll just see how it plays out, right? So keep on going. So I'm like, no, you know what running requires? It requires running. And I'm not about that life.
Yeah, but that's just because you're not a runner right now. Like everyone that's not a runner yet is gonna hate it. But once you get good at running and once you have been comfortable with running a mile and then you can run 2 miles and then you slowly just build into it. I'm not saying you need to go run a marathon right now, but I think you would be good at it if you were to work on it slowly.
I don't know. I just, for me, running is just not my thing and I love it for you.
Oh man, you really should be a runner, Paul.
Yeah. So pause. This is a good spot where you can see I am demonstrating comfortability with non-disclosure.
And I'm not.
And Jacob is not. Jacob, it down for us.
I want so badly for Paul to do this thing because I think he would excel in it that I'm going to take every effort that I have to pound into Paul's brain that he would be a good runner.
And it comes from a good place.
And it comes from a good place, but it's not necessarily good.
Well,
but maybe it's not.
Sure.
I guess it's maybe not, it's not bad.
The idea of trying to convince me to be a runner is not a...
It's not a bad thing, but it's just like, it's an example of me being so stubborn,
right,
saying
right.
like, I want you to have this because
he's saying,
I
no,
want.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
You would be the next insert runner here and runner name here. And, you know, he's trying to convince me of something that I just
don't want.
A, don't care about. B, don't want. C, couldn't care less.
I had a friend and he hates chocolate.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like, how you can't hate chocolate.
Yeah.
Like there's no one hates chocolate.
No.
He's like, no, I hate chocolate. I tried on multiple occasions to eat chocolate. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, he's like, I'm fine with not trying it.
Yeah.
Like, but I was so adamant up until a certain point where I was like, you know what? He's like, he doesn't want it. that it was just like mind-boggling to me. And so I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and like, okay, so let's go back to our conversation. No, Jacob, you know, running is just not for me. I don't know, like, it's fun, but like, eh, whatever.
All right. Well, I respect your decision, Paul. I just think it's a bit of a shame, but
yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah. And boom, look, peace achieved, right? Yeah. Like, and maybe that was a little snark there at the end. I'm not going to lie.
It was a little bit.
But if you can do that with just small disagreements, you say, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, we just disagree. Right. And being comfortable with that, there is no friction to start to spark an argument, to spark, to, yeah, it's anything like, there's no friction to create that, like, that. To that gets rid of the peace, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I had a more beautiful way of saying that, but I don't.
Yeah.
But like, if you can be comfortable with disagreeing with people and not being on the same page as people, then you will just have a peaceful life. You'll never feel the need. You'll never be in an argument from your own. You'll never be the cause of an argument.
Yeah.
Right? Not to say that other people won't try to argue with you, but like, yeah, you'll just be okay.
Yeah.
And this is a funny little example because Jacob and I, we have this conversation a lot. And this goes back to our other principle that we talked about today, which is humor.
Yeah.
And usually whenever me and Jacob have this conversation, it doesn't stop there.
No.
But usually there's a lot of humor.
Yeah, it's into just like it a joke. It because turns
it shows
into a joke.
It shows how much like Jacob really does believe in it, but like at the end of the day, we are just
can't force
just
people.
We're just talking.
Stuff.
Yeah, we're just so that's just little side tangent to say that. Yeah, this is an opportunity for us to use humor.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what? Do you have any more thoughts on this idea?
I don't really have that many other thoughts. I just have one quote that I think is kind of applicable.
Yeah.
And this is from a book that I really enjoy reading. It's it was written by Russell M. Nelson, who was the prior prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He passed away in September.
Yeah.
And was it September? I think it was September. But he wrote a book kind of, and it was released around his 100th birthday, kind of sharing some lessons that he's learned in his 100 years of life. And I think this is a really applicable kind of part of our conversation that we're having. And in it, he's talking about meeting with other dignitaries or people of other faith, or just whenever they would meet with other people as he was like the head of the church. He said, in each meeting, we seek to learn from our guests and share meaningful perspectives. Such enriching interactions are possible because we have a sincere desire to build bridges of understanding and to do so with respect for all. And I think it's really interesting that he says bridges of understanding, not bridges of agreement.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes with that non-closure thing is like, they might not come to an agreement on a topic, but they at least understand each other. Yeah. Paul can understand where I'm coming at with the running thing.
Unfortunately.
He can understand that Paul is a very slender, tall dude who, when he does run, is very fast.
Oh, I'm flattered. I'm blushing.
So he understands where I'm coming from, but I also understand that it's not for everyone.
Right.
And Paul feels that way, and so that's okay. And so I respect him for it. Do I resent him? Just a tiny little incy-wincy bit, yes. But that doesn't affect our relationship. So I think having that in mind that
he's
we're trying
just
to...
jealous of my body.
I am. Paul, I wish I could switch bodies with you sometime. Just kidding.
His times would drop. Not drop. His times would increase massively.
No. Yeah.
So yeah. No, I really like this idea of Russell M. Nelson. And I think a huge theme that we're not even going to be able to talk about is once you are okay with that space and that difference, that gives you you then kind of get the green flag. You then have the availability to explore that difference.
Because you become okay with your opinion and you will become okay with someone else's opinion. Right. It's just like you come to a peaceful kind of conclusion.
Yeah, that is the opportunity. If you want to, you then have created the space for you to be curious and to learn.
Yeah.
And that's... I feel like that's super cool. Curious, I've heard, there was a podcast one time that I was listening to, I think it was Faith Matters.
Uh-huh.
They had a guy on and he said, curiosity is the cure for judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes into this and there's more to talk about with that. But to keep it short, you know, if you are okay with non-closure, then you have just you've not removed the burden, but you have made it so that there is no burden placed on your shoulder, mm-hmm. right? You have made yourself free from any potential burden that comes with trying to yeah. force things to happen with another free agent that is a human being.
Yeah, 100% agree.
And then, like I said, then you get the chance to explore differences, which is really beautiful, one of my favorite things. But we don't have enough time to
yeah.
go through that.
Yeah, I think that's like a good kind of place to kind of wrap up a little bit. And I think we've had some really good, insightful conversations today, Paul, about different things. I think the humor is a great example of just how to keep the peace and also just understanding that we're not going to have closure on everything.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't have to have the last word. We don't have to convince everyone of what we believe or what
you
we think.
You don't even have to understand everything. Like, and, I think that, you know, your quote's really good. Ideally, we'd like to understand everything.
But if sometimes we don't.
But and if you can be happy with not understanding the inner workings of someone,
that's okay.
Your life will be so much better.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess that's kind of our main 2 points that we would kind of want to get across today for you.
Yeah.
And we hope that you take that and do it.
Yeah.
Just apply it. And
we would love to hear your experiences.
Yeah.
We're a relatively small podcast.
Relatively small.
So I feel like we know you. If you're listening to this right now, we know you and we love you. And we actually really appreciate hearing from you. And we want to hear how you, if you are practicing what we talk about, or if you appreciate, if you've learned from it. And so let us know what you've learned and what you do to apply it. Maybe choose something, share it with a friend, you know, decide to be funny to someone who maybe is having a hard day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We'd really appreciate to hear from you guys, from you. And we're so grateful for your support. And
we get emotional.
We really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good week. We love you.
Peace.